What is up, college baseball fans? Welcome to another episode of the 11.7 podcast, where we are here to recap weekend number five already of the college baseball season, joined here by Dimitri and Jack. Boys, we didn't discuss this, so we're going to just go out on a limb. Who's our team of the week? Who's our home field team of the week? We should have prepared, but forgot once we hopped on. You want to do like maybe Mississippi State?
Mississippi State
sounds good.
We've already done
Florida State, Dimitri.
Hey, here's the deal. Let's go ahead and get in front of this now. I know you're going to go ahead and pull up the home field page for Mississippi State. Ben, let's go ahead and get in front of this. I've received a lot of messages to apologize to the Riz God. I want to apologize. We're in the business of making hot takes. I gave the Bulldog zero shot. I basically proclaimed Luke Holman to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Hand up, I jinxed the living shit out of him Friday night. That's on me.
Yeah, I was right there with you. But props to Mississippi State. And like now we're in the territory where we get the Twitter brigade asking Kendall Rogers every single day, is Mississippi State going to host? Are we going to have a regional hosted in Starkville, Mississippi? There's still a lot of ball to be played, but they looked pretty solid. But let me get through this partnership ad read real quick. So as you guys know, we're official partners with Home Field Apparel. And right now they have some incredible March Madness deals going on. And you can get 15% off your first purchase using our promo code CWS24. So I always say College World Series 24. That's our promo code. And you can shop cool shirts like this. This is Mississippi State. We'll make them the team of the week. We could have discussed more. And we probably could have come up with another team. But on fly, Mississippi State, really cool stuff. They even have Mississippi State baseball gear here, which is really cool. Wait, so y'all go check out Home Field Apparel. And
Go back down. Go back up. Like second row, maybe. One more. All right. That Bulldog Country one. I'm a big fan of that one.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. And it's like, it's always
is
like
something funny material funny, that they Jack? Have too. Like, Jack, is something funny?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I thought that was going to be a tough listen for those driving to work tomorrow. I was just trying to scroll through, figuring out which one you like. I thought it was funny.
Exactly. We have to remember we're a podcast first. But if you are on our YouTube, we do share our screen for a lot of this stuff so you can see what the shirts look like. But let's get into it, guys. I have about 100 bullet points to get through. Before we get started, personal shout out to Coach Justin Hare from Campbell, getting 300 wins this quickly. The guy runs a freaking baseball program over there. And I'll be honest, I thought he was leaving Power 5 after last season. Guy stuck it out and just recruited a team full of new faces. And right now he's got Grant Nipp, who leads the country in home runs with 14. And he's an Alabama transfer from like 3 years ago, redshirted at Alabama, worked his way up through the Campbell system. And they're just a fun team to watch. So shout out to Justin Hare, friend of the program, 300 wins already. That's crazy when you're only playing 50 games a year, 56 games a year.
Did you say Grant Nipp? He's a transfer from Alabama.
Jesus Christ, Dimitri.
Tough start.
Wake up, man.
Come on. It's big game day.
You want to know my biggest problem is the moment I get something in my head, I just like forget everything that's going on around me and I go and I research and make sure and I don't even listen.
Are you a female? No offense to any females, but.
Ben, you just got canceled.
And there's this is a great time to get canceled because people are focused on March Madness. The bracket just got released. I looked at it, have no clue what to pick. But anyways, that was a harmless joke. Hopefully that didn't offend anybody. But we got a lot of ball to be talking about. A lot of real baseball. SEC play started up. ACC play was exciting. Big 12 was crazy. The state of Texas sucked this weekend, guys. Like TCU got swept. Texas Tech lost 2 out of 3 to Baylor. Texas lost 2 out of 3 to Washington. A&M lost 2 out of 3 to Florida. The state of Texas and maybe Houston won 2 out of 3 against BYU.
They lost 2 out of 3 to BYU.
They did because they played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so I couldn't remember. Yeah, bad time to be a public school in the state of Texas. That's all I'm saying. But Big 12 play was great. Who did?
Texas State lost two as well. We were reading each other's minds. I don't take a lot of notes. My top bullet point is state of Texas stinks, question mark?
That's what I had too.
Wait, hold on. Is TCU a public school?
No, it's not.
They're private.
Oh, okay.
So they stink out loud too.
What are the two big – is there another big private school in Texas besides TCU?
Baylor.
SMU. Baylor.
SMU is big. Rice, decent size. Actually, on the smaller end.
Would you say SMU? Would you say SMU the bigger version of Dallas Baptist?
Sure.
So if SMU had baseball, they could be the Dallas Baptist.
Easily. It's the biggest shame that SMU doesn't.
Fucking shame, dude.
Dude, SMU could recruit that Dallas area just and build a dynasty. But they just, I mean, and same thing with North Texas. North Texas is right there in the heart of, like, great high school baseball. And beautiful campus, too. It's just a shame, but whatever. But I want to start here with the SEC. Because I, out of all the games, I think I caught myself watching the SEC the most just because I love opening weekend. You really get to see the teams that maybe are overlooked from, like, a weak non-conference schedule. Or even teams that might be overhyped from their non-conference schedule.
Cough, Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. and we really get to find out well, let me take a step back. We say it all the time, but you just can't take an off weekend in SEC play unless maybe you're playing Missouri. Like, Missouri seems like that one team that you should win 2 out of 3. You should honestly sweep them. They're that bad. They scored one run this weekend against Arkansas. But we'll give credit to Arkansas's pitching staff. But the main point I want to say is when you looked at the however many SEC series there was none of them that we were like, oh, this is a surefire win. Like, even we talked about last episode, Mississippi State had a path to beat LSU at home. And then Ole Miss, like, Ole Miss could easily beat South Carolina 2 out of 3 at home, which they did. So there is no off weekends in SEC play, and I think home field plays a huge advantage. In fact, I think every single home team won. Is that right?
Was that an ad read?
Maybe.
Shout out to home field.
Every single home team in the SEC won their series this weekend. You completely forget, because when you look at the slate going into the weekend, you're like, oh man, this is, I think you, I even fall kind of into the prejudices of what we've heard all offseason and personally what I've been around so far in the first month of the year. Hand up, I underestimated the state of Mississippi. I counted them out just like everybody else did. And you forget, like, it takes a different breed to go in and win amongst the Mirror Showers and Swayze and Duty. You know, like, I absolutely underestimated the shit out of them. And every home team wins opening weekend in the SEC play. Like, that's not an accident. Like, it's crazy.
There's legitimate home field advantages. Even like the Kentucky series. Like, people don't realize Kentucky's got a big home field advantage because their ballpark is, like, so much bigger than everybody else's, like, through the gaps, down the lines. And they play with that speed and defense and, like, pitching ability that a lot of teams like Georgia don't play to those strengths. Georgia's trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark a lot. Their pitchers, they throw a lot of, you know, ground balls. I mean, it wasn't a good match for Georgia. But yeah, I think we're going to see this pattern kind of continue. I think a lot of home teams will win series. So if you're an SEC fan, look through your schedule. See who you have at home and see who you have away. Because I think that's going to be a big factor of, like, how well your team is going to play this year.
Here is the path to winning the SEC. Win 2 out of 3 at home. Do not get swept on the road. You're 15-15 right there.
At least.
You see what I'm saying? 2 out of 3 at home. Don't get swept on the road. At worst case, you're 15-15. You sweep a bad Missouri team, or you catch South Carolina a bad weekend, or you catch whoever on a bad weekend. You sweep, now you're 16, 17, 18 win, and now you're pushing SEC title stuff. So that's the key of the SEC. I mean, most conferences are the same like that, but especially in the SEC, you have no horrible team besides Missouri.
Yeah, there were three sweeps in the SEC. Obviously, Arkansas took care of business against Missouri. Vanderbilt, Dimitri, you called it like 3 weeks ago. Yes. They're playing some of, if not the best baseball in the country right now. I think they pretty much dominated Auburn all weekend.
A really good Auburn team, too.
There was never a point where I was like, oh, Vanderbilt's going to lose this game. For all 27 innings, I was like, Vanderbilt's got this. They're going to win the game, move on to the next game. And I think people kind of wrote off Vanderbilt after the first five games when they struggled against FAU. They lost a midweek to who, Xavier or somebody?
So I want to piggyback off this whenever you finish your thought.
No, you're good. It's all you.
So here's the funny thing about Vanderbilt. We hold Vanderbilt to such a high standard that, like, we don't hold a lot of other teams to. So they lost to FAU, they lost to Dayton, and they lost to Gonzaga. They took two out of three against Gonzaga. Those are their only three. Yeah, those are their only three losses. It wasn't like the sky was falling on them. It was just you hold Vanderbilt to such a high standard that you love to cherry pick when they lose a game to an inferior opponent. But it was never like shit hitting the fan for Vanderbilt. That never happened. They took two out of three against FAU. They never lost a series. They lost a February 20th midweek against Dayton and then lost a Sunday game to Gonzaga by one. Like, and Gonzaga scored eight runs in the seventh inning. Outside of that, they sweep them. So it's like there was a little narrative being created that got squashed real quick that Vanderbilt's not that good.
Hey, Dimitri, to your point, you bring up such an awesome idea that there's this idea that we hold them to this blue chip, blue blood type role. And when I got to talk with Coach Corbin in Houston, like he just kept mentioning the word response, which is total coach talk. But like when you watch them play, I made jokes about when they went down eight runs to Texas on that Sunday in Houston. Yet they've got 12 guys in right shallow field dancing and doing the Simba cam and fake kiss cam. And they never change. They never alter. They go down four runs in the first two innings today. And to Ben's point, you're like, oh, they're fine. They're going to win a game. And sure enough, they put up a two spot in the bottom half of the inning, a four spot crooked number in the bottom six today. And they end up winning a good baseball game. And it doesn't matter what the score is. Like, you're taking this blend of the Marine Corps type culture that Corbin's become famous for versus this idea of like, all right, let's just have some fun and breathe a little bit too, despite what the scoreboard says. And you're like, oh, shit, like, they're a blast.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. I think if your future's better right now, I'd go ahead and scoop up Vanderbilt to win the national championship. I'm not saying that they are going to win, but these are like I could see the odds getting a lot shorter. Right now, I think LSU and Wake Forest are both 8-1 on most sites, and Vanderbilt's probably in the 30-40 range.
20-1.
I know they were about 45 last week around this time.
22-1.
So their odds are already dropping. I just think they're a good team. If you take away a few bad innings from their bullpen, that first five or six game stretch, like they could be possibly undefeated right now. Like that's how scary they are. Offense is good. But let's move on from Vanderbilt. I think we need to talk about this Florida versus Texas A&M series because I watched all 27 innings. They were all pretty intense innings. Like, don't do that anymore with your glove, or I'm going to kick you off the show.
I'm going to use this as a prop. I'm donating.
No, you just smacked your mic with that glove.
Dude, I'm a fucking mess. I know. I get it.
Yeah. No, you're going to get kicked off the show if you do it again. but, yeah, Florida A&M, it just felt like that late season, early May series that every pitch meant something. It was high stress for both teams. You can ask both fan bases. They were never comfortable for one inning. And I think there's a lot of just future MLB all-stars on both rosters. Like, I think both rosters are absolutely loaded. And I think you're going to see a lot of these guys playing 162 one day. I think the player that kind of stuck out the most to me, like Tyler Shelnut, he's got freaking the clutch gene, man. It felt like every time he stepped to the plate, something good happened for Florida. And obviously, Cags had that two-homer game on Friday, which was big for him. But after that, they just kind of stopped pitching to Jack Caglione. And I don't blame him. Like, let's let somebody else other than the best player in college baseball beat us. And I loved A&M's approach all weekend. Like, they kind of mixed and matched. Their bullpen guys got some big outs on Saturday in high leverage situations. But I think if this series is played at College Station, I think A&M wins 2 out of 3. It just happened to be played down at Condren Field in Gainesville. And Florida ended up winning. But Texas A&M was, like, they couldn't have runners in scoring position all weekend. They were terrible all, like, every single day, hitting with runners in scoring position. If they get a couple hits to fall, A&M could have possibly swept. And the same thing for Florida. I think Florida could have swept winning Saturday. But anyways, I'll let you guys talk about your thoughts. I know I'm rambling on a little bit.
I just have one thing to say. I mean, everyone knows, I mean, Florida's lineup is pretty good. I just have one tip of the cap on the whole weekend. Luke McNeely came in today, got the final out of the eighth, closed out the ninth. That guy came in with like a near 20 ERA. I mean, he was getting smacked all season. Came in and got a massive 4-out save today to clinch the series. So, like, that could be a turning point for a guy in a career like that. You're coming in, you know, you're struggling on the season, freshman, it's just not working out. All of a sudden, you get that confidence, big SEC series against undefeated A&M, whatever. You close it out. Now you're like, dude, I can fucking do this. I can do this. And then it just snowball in a positive way into a weapon for Sully and the boys. So that was my biggest, like, moment of the whole weekend with McNeely as a freshman struggling big time, coming in and getting a massive 4-out save.
I love that. Only thing I got is if you hypothetically invested into this weekend, we all saw it coming, right? You head in undefeated. Florida, we could not have been more down on. Entering the weekend 10-6, it was a no-brainer that they were going to take care of home field. I don't think it takes away what A&M has done to this point in the year. Like, they're still going to be fine. But yeah, those hypothetical investors out there, congratulations. You earned that one.
It was the script we've seen every single year. A team comes into an undefeated team goes on the road, conference play, against a team that's, like, scratching and clawing to get wins. And you just know right away, like, Florida's going to win that series. We talked about it on Friday. I know we both picked Texas A&M just for the pure, like, entertainment purpose. But
I picked Florida, if I remember correctly, and then switched it.
I think we all ended up switching at some point.
Somebody switched it. I know that.
I did. I wanted to will it. Like, I wanted to reverse jinx the jinx, and I ended up willing myself onto the other side just because I wanted to, like, fade myself. A hypothetical, horrible investor on my end, so I appreciate the people for not listening and following along. But I actually have something to it, and I don't want to take up too much time, but does Jack Keggs ever throw on Friday for them? Like, you can't, right?
No, because he throws on Sundays always.
Saturday, right? Like, because he's got to hit Friday, Saturday. But wouldn't it be a statement to be able to throw him on Friday night and let him throw 100 from the left side? Like,
well, need his defense. His defense was popping off this weekend. And, like, to throw him at first base Friday, Saturday is very important to that team. So that's why they're going to do it. I think they're going to stick with it all year. And
I guess that's my question. He pitched on Friday, then he couldn't play defensively Saturday, Sunday.
He's 2-4. Yeah, you don't want to do high effort throws across the diamond, anything like that, throwing ground ball between inning when he's sore shit.
That makes sense.
Plus, it makes a lot of sense for Florida too. I mean, he's either going to be pitching for the sweep to win a series or to avoid the sweep. It kind of falls in their favor. Probably the best Sunday guy in the country. Like, I love Mason Molina from Arkansas. I think he's nasty too. There's a few others that kind of save their guys for Sunday, but you got to love your chances if you're Florida having Cags throw on Sunday. And pitched well again today. Like, the walk bug was there. I think he walked 4 or 5, but for the most part, like, he was throwing high velocity. He looked good. Yeah. The next series we're going to talk
about. Before we move on, people are like, why the fuck is Dimitri playing with this glove on stream, whatever. I got this glove for $80. If you're on the podcast, you can't see the YouTube. Brand new gray and white Wilson A2000. I'm going to donate this to the capital funds of 11.7. I don't have an idea yet. I can either sell this glove for $200 or I can do a giveaway of some sort. So you guys need to help me with some idea. I'm feeling awfully generous right now. So let's brainstorm something, and maybe this glove won't be in the hands of a avid 11.7 listener follower.
Well, sign it for him too.
I got it at a garage sale for $80. It is a literally nearly $300 glove.
That's sweet. No, I love the color too. Speaking of that gray, Tennessee wore that kind of color gray this weekend and absolutely manhandled Alabama on Friday. Like, Alabama knew in about the fourth or fifth inning, like, okay, we're going to play to win Saturday, Sunday. This game is a wash. Like, we're going to hunt this game. And I'll tell you this, Rob Vaughn, he's got the Crimson Tide. Like, they play hard for him, I guess is the simple way to say it. But when I say play hard for him, as I'm getting distracted by this March Madness commercial on my TV right here, sorry. Like, these guys, like, this is a different Alabama team than we've seen in the past. Like, they've had some talent throughout the last 5 or 6 years. They usually do kind of what Georgia did. Like, they play a weak non-conference schedule, and then once they get in the SEC play, they struggle big time.
Like a shell shock almost.
Yeah, and that's kind of the Alabama team we're used to seeing. This team's different. Like, I know, like, TJ McCants was a transfer from SEC school, from Ole Miss, but they feel like they have guys that are from all over. I know
really Broad's got a couple Maryland guys with them.
Yeah, a couple talented guys from the Big Ten.
Ethan and Petrus. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He was a big bopper at Maryland. Big lefty. Yeah.
And they lost probably like one of the most talented guys in the transfer portal. Oh my God, I just forgot his name.
Colby Shelton.
I almost said Shell Nutt. Coleman too. He had 25 homers as a true freshman. Like, he would be another lethal piece in that lineup. But anyways, my point is, I was really impressed with what Alabama did Saturday and today, Sunday, holding off and fighting tooth and nail with Tennessee, and kind of humbled that Tennessee fan base quite a bit, because after Friday on Twitter, Tennessee fans were chirping a bit. And Alabama looked good. That's what I'm going to put it at. Yeah.
And again, this is another one for me where, like, this says a lot more about the Tide than it does about them. I'm still super high on the Vols just because I thought they looked really good all weekend. I thought it was going to be their arms. Their offense is loaded. But again, Alabama continues to get punched in the mouth and continues to fight back 17-3 on the year. But Gage Miller is the dude that hit that three-run jack in the eighth.
And one, like, pitch, that whole series changes.
Right, and then we're having a totally different conversation about they had an opportunity to protect home field and they just couldn't take care of it. Same old Alabama. Gage Miller takes one swing. There's a quiet swagger in the bat flip, and all of a sudden, like, they skate off a ninth inning rally. Like, Tennessee had a shot there late. They scratch one in the ninth to cut it to 7-6. I think the three run homer made it 7-5. But there's just a lot of fun pieces. Like, Gage Miller's a guy like, they probably didn't expect to be a contributor this year. And he's, been a guy and hits probably the biggest home run at this point in their season.
100%. I liked the dugout reaction all weekend from Bama. Like, when guys were getting outs on the mound, like, big dugout reaction, like, big third out, dugouts meeting the pitcher, like, at the line. But it was more like, I see what you're saying, Jack, like the quiet confidence. Like, they weren't chirping at Tennessee. There was never a risk of there being, like, benches clearing brawl. They were focused on their guys and their guys only, which reminds me a lot of that Maryland team that hosted a regional. Like, just fun, exciting guys that are focused on their team and their team only. So I don't know how deep Alabama will go in the postseason this year, but it does feel like a team that if they can get some big outs from, like, Ben Hess on Fridays and win some Fridays in the SEC – they should be able to host a regional. Like, I think they're a top six team in the SEC right now, and we'll see what the season has in store for them. But
let me ask you this:
we already talked about Mississippi State. I haven't written down.
I was just about to ask you that this weekend at the Dude in Starkville,
So we have not talked about it, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
They were our team of the week.
Okay. Does it say more about LSU or does it say more about Mississippi State? The floor is yours.
That's a great question. Look, I think it says more about Mississippi State. Like, they're not going to be this walk in the park that, like, they have been the last two seasons. Since they won the national championship, teams were expecting to go into the Dude and win the series. And, yeah, I mean, yesterday especially felt much like that 2021 season, that 2020 season. Fans were loud. Cowbells were – you could hear the cowbells in the broadcast. And it wasn't for a weekend series against Central Michigan. Like, it was against LSU. I think their offense is really good. And I think their offense can win them some games, like some 13 to 14 games. But the pitching staff still, I think, is shaky. And I think LSU's lineup went cold at the wrong time. And I think LSU missed a lot of opportunities to put up crooked numbers when they only put up like one run. Pretty much everybody in the lineup besides Tommy White just didn't look comfortable in the box. So I think LSU will bounce back, and like I think they will start scoring runs. But any like when Mississippi State won Friday night against Luke Holman, it was like, oh, it's on. Like you got Gerangelo Sanger pitching Sunday, who's throwing 98 from the right side, 93 from the left side, nasty run on his pitches. Like I felt like Mississippi State knew that they had a really good shot to win the series. So that's kind of my take.
I think Mississippi. Sorry, I had a sneak. Anyway, I think Mississippi State's success this season is going to be on Lamona's pitching bullpen management. And you saw it this weekend. If he gets a guy out one batter early or on time, put the right guy in for the jam, put the right guy in, you know, platoon, whatever. I think their season is going to rely on his bullpen management because the starters have the talent. The lineup is going to score. It is all up to Lamona, and he can really prove his doubters wrong, including me. If he hit the right button at the right time this year with his bullpen management, this team's going to win 35, 40 games this year. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There are lots of question marks.
Oh, go ahead, Jack. Sorry. I cut you.
Ben, all you. You're good. Go.
I was just going to say, like, this Mississippi State team, I don't think can win the SEC. I don't think they can be a top 4 to 6 team, but only one has a chance to go to a regional. And everybody knows, like, once the regionals start, ask Ole Miss. Anything can happen. Like, you can get hot on the mound. You can, like, find 3 or 4 guys that throw 5, 6 innings, 1-run baseball. Crazy things happen in the tournament.
But that's my point. They're not talented enough on the mound to get away with a bunch of mistakes. Like, LSU can make a wrong pitching change or whatever the case may be, and they'll make up for it. Mississippi State really got to hit the button perfectly for them to have a lot of success. That's basically what my point is. They're not deep enough to just fuck around and find out kind of thing.
Yeah. They don't have a Landon Sims back there to throw 7th, 8th, and 9th inning twice a weekend. That was a huge asset that they had back then. But, yeah, my thing, like, a realistic goal for Mississippi State is, like, we're trying to get, like, obviously try to host a regional, but try to win more series than you lose. If you can win more series than you can lose in SEC play, I think that tells you everything you need to know. Like, if you're a legitimate championship-caliber team or not. Right now, I still don't think they are. In fact, I think if this series was at Alex Box, I don't think they win the series. They might not win a game. But they did what they needed to this weekend. They won 2 out of 3 at home against the top 5 team in the country. Dakota Jordan looked amazing. Hunter Ryan finally broke out of his slump and hit 3 or 4 homers. I mean, it's going to be a fun, exciting team to watch and keep up with this year. Like, can they keep the boat floated?
I'm going to flip this to the LSU side. Listen to their next 3 series. At home versus Florida. At Arkansas, at home versus Vanderbilt.
Oh, man. That's tough, man.
That's so stupid.
Buddy, let's just say 1 and 2. Let's say they win the series in Florida, just 2 out of 3. Uh-oh. They're 3 and 3. Go to Arkansas, lose it. 4 and 5. Yeah, 4 and 5. And then they coin flip on the Vanderbilt series. They could be 6 and 6.
I think they'd be happy with 6 and 6. I know the LSU fans are going to be, no, we're not happy. We got to win all nine games. Whatever. We'll be 10-4.
Oh, sorry. And then they go to Knoxville and play Tennessee after that.
That's not an easy schedule.
That's insane.
They had to, like, this was a must-win series for LSU. Like, you have to have this series win with the schedule you have ahead of you.
Well, I'll Florida, cheer LSU. Arkansas,
Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Holy shit, man.
I'll cheer LSU fans up really quick, and I'll wear a lot of this blame. It takes a big man to own up to his mistakes. Riz got it. I'll place the pencil in front of the pen in this spot. I had a lot of people on my ass for going at you a little bit, saying that LSU had a shot to lose with Holman on the mound on Friday. There's no other way a guy who steps foot on the mound and toes the rubber at Dudy Noble, who is a plus 40 strikeout guy and sub 5 walks on the season, gets banged around a little bit. We clearly jinxed him, Ben. There was not a chance in hell, and it's because we're bad investors. Luke Holman's still the guy on Friday night for them. Like, I truly believe that he's a top 5 starting pitcher on Friday nights in all of college baseball. Like, I really do, based off of his product and his resume so far to this point. So if you're LSU, you go into all those weekends going, we're going to win on Friday night because we got that guy. Another big piece of the puzzle that you mentioned, Ben, and this is why I wouldn't worry if I'm LSU, Tommy White looked fantastic this weekend.
Yeah.
He got off to a good start, not a Tommy White start, right? But with 3 homers and a play that if he doesn't make it third base, they probably get swept on Saturday. Jelsey, I don't know who clipped it, comes in. The double play, that throw he makes across the infield, a lot of guys are saying that he's a big league bat. That is, I'm not a scout. That's an 80 grade throw across the infield. Like, I don't know what the velo is, but that's a throw that saves them from getting swept. When that guy's good and you've got Holman on Fridays, you go, all right, we're going to win a game. We're not going to get swept. Like you mentioned, you can't get swept in SEC play. I still feel good, but hand up, I think I pissed off the baseball gods and I got Mississippi State a series win because they shellacked the shit out of them on Friday night.
Yeah, Tommy White did everything he could this weekend, and that kind of scares me backing Florida or LSU. It's like, man, he had such a good weekend, and he only got one win at Mississippi State. If he doesn't go off this weekend,
they'll be fine.
I know, yeah. They'll be fine. They have talented guys in the lineup. It's just like we got to start seeing these talented guys produce on the road. They all hit well at home, but on the road. And maybe it was just a bad week for LSU because that Sunday they get shut out, I think, by Xavier, right? A week ago from today, they lose to Xavier. And I don't know. I think there's still some things to figure out. Maybe a championship hangover. But they have the target on their back with a less talented team. And it's the same thing Wake Forest is going through, too. And we'll talk about the ACC here after we talk about South Carolina, Ole Miss. We'll go straight into the ACC. But there's just something about having a target on your back with a less talented roster. Texas, I think, is going through the same treatment. Every year, there's about 3 or 4 teams that have to go through this. Right now, like Texas, Wake Forest, LSU, and TCU as well. All 3 less talented rosters with teams that want to beat their ass. That's what it is. But here's not even a hot take for the SEC this weekend. I'm not a believer in South Carolina anymore. Like, South Carolina to me, and hopefully they prove me wrong because I don't hate them. They looked so uninterested Friday and Saturday at Ole Miss. Like, no excitement, no guys. Like it felt like they did not want to win. Or, like, they did not want to be there.
You know what it is? It is a team-wide culture, believing that you're going to win every game. South Carolina, when you looked at when the camera panned on their dugout, you got the vibe that they don't think they're going to win this game.
Yeah, it feels like they're like waiting to find out how they're going to lose. And maybe Clemson broke them. Because up until that Clemson series, South Carolina was an exciting team with like a lot of like pizzazz about them, a lot of big storylines. Like Cole Messina and Ethan Petrie were like 2 of the most talked about guys to potentially win the Golden Spikes. And when Petrie's not hitting homers, that team has no offense. It's like bad. I am very down on South Carolina. As of March 17th, 2024, I am so down on South Carolina that I think they're the second worst team in the SEC. And I think it's clear as day right now.
You think South Georgia's better than South Carolina?
I do. I know Georgia got their teeth kicked in. I think there's more to be excited about for Georgia than there is South Carolina right now. And I know they came back and they salvaged the series. They did not get swept at Ole Miss, which is like a huge like check mark in the right
direction. Don't get swept on the road.
Yeah, don't get swept on the road. But when they made Ole Miss look like a top 10 team on Friday and Saturday, and I'm talking all assets of the game, like pitching, bullpen, offense, base running, there was just so many mistakes that I was like, I don't know if this team's going to win very many series, if any. I could be labeled a South Carolina hater. I promise I've built – like last year I was buying into the hype.
Oh, we love
South Carolina. Yeah. Right now, if – dude, I just can't – I can't emphasize this enough that I was watching – because I bet Ole Miss both games, Friday and Saturday. They were home underdogs, like plus 140 each game. And it was a no-brainer after Friday. Like, okay, I'm going to hit this again on Saturday. South Carolina just did not travel well. So hopefully they prove me wrong. I don't know who they have next, but it was just a different team, like an unmotivated team. And we'll see what they do the rest of the year. But that's my hot take. I think they're the second worst team in the SEC.
That's a hot take. Riz God, let me hit second. I want to hear you. I'm going to play devil's advocate because I mean it too. And I know that I'm easily persuaded, but I actually do believe in this team, and I'll tell you why. Riz God, I want you to hit third and be the moderator, and you can arbitrate the call here. Friday night, they lose by a run in a game that they should have won. Like, they should have won. You give up three late. I felt like they should have won on Friday, and then all of a sudden you're deflated. I thought Eli Jones threw well enough to win that game on Friday night. Now, if you look at the box score on Saturday, this is where it gets fun. You go 12-3 is a shellacking, right? I don't care who you are. That is a shellacking. Easier to be the hunter than a hunted. They weren't expected to win last year. They go on a run. They go down and get into a buzzsaw in the Super, and Florida beats them. Because they gave up an 8 spot in the 8th inning. Like, baseball's weird. An 8 spot in the 8th inning doesn't happen. Now, what I've seen
it
is –
it was an ugly 8 spot, though, Jack. Like, it was an ugly 8 spot.
But here's my devil – I mean, it's brutal. There's no excusing it, right? That's bad. It's not good. But the question marks coming into this year weren't, hey, what's this offense going to look like, right? Kind of like Kurtz at Wake Forest. He's got a slow start. They didn't anticipate that. South Carolina's bottom of the order produced this weekend. That was a question mark. Their second biggest question mark was what the hell were they going to do on Sundays? So to me, the signs of a good team, good leadership, coaching staff, whole mantra. I'm seeing people out on social ripping into Kingston like, guess who bounced back and won a game on Sunday where their biggest question mark was who the hell was going to throw on Sunday? You give up an 8 spot in the 8th inning and you look as bad as they did and they get swept today. I have zero right to sit in this chair and go, Gamecocks are going to be fine. But to win the way they did today after looking as bad as they did in that inning last night, I go, all right, I'm cool. Like, they could have been a lawn chair. They could have folded. That's what a bad leadership council leads to, right? There's probably a conversation in the hotel room where your veterans step up and go, we got to be better. And to me, watching them bounce back today, you know, I could be wrong, right? Like, I think to your point, their product says that they're a bottom tier SEC team. But to me, their bounce back today was impressive.
Let me add one more point. I just looked up their upcoming schedule, and it is brutal. Like, we're looking at possibly 6-12 going into the Missouri or the Kentucky series. So you have Vanderbilt at home. Vanderbilt's unreal right now, just smacking the ball, putting up 10, 12 runs a game. Then you go to Tuscaloosa. We saw how hard that series can be, especially for this Tennessee team going there. A&M at home, Florida on the road, Arkansas at home, Kentucky at home. And then it gets a little bit lighter. You get Missouri and Georgia, then finish up against Tennessee. But, guys, I mean, Vanderbilt, Alabama, A&M, Florida, Arkansas, and then Kentucky is kind of like, oh, that's a little bit easier of a series. Like, it might not be. So, like, if South Carolina starts 6-12 in SEC play, which is – not getting swept and not winning a series, just winning one out of three the next five series, that's trouble.
I'm going to have to put a stinky-ass sock in my mouth, and I'm going to have to chew on it. But to your point, like, we look at that Tennessee-Bama weekend, like, I said that would have been my survivor pick going in just because I felt like Alabama, first year coach. They're still dealing with the repercussions of last year. And I felt like they were going to get boat raped. Don't. So, but yeah, it changes everlasting. But you forget like how stupid this SEC schedule is. Like it really is so dumb.
And yeah, it is only week one. We could be overreacting. Look back 5 weeks and I'll say, that was fucking stupid what we just said.
Well, I know. And look, I know South Carolina fans are just going to pull out the receipts and say, we lost one run games to Clemson, who might be a top eight team in the country after beating Duke 2 out of 3 on the road. Like, I get it. Clemson's a good team. South Carolina, I don't see that fire in them. And maybe this is going to be on their motivating video that they'll show. You just don't see how they're going to win a lot of series in the SEC with this attitude that they had.
They do not have that spark that they had last year where Ethan Petrie was unknown. Cole Messina was just starting his breakout. Dylan Brewer was still getting shit from Clemson fans. Like they didn't have that. They had that spark last year, whether it was the underdog or the we are the villain, whatever it was. This year, they don't have that spark. At least I'm not getting it. So to your point, I see where you're coming from. And to Jack's point, maybe we're overreacting a little bit to this weekend. But overall, I'm not very high on South Carolina either. Do I think they're going to be horrible? No. Do I think they're going to be competing for a top four seed in Hoover? No. They're just going to be a middle-of-the-pack SEC team that can beat anybody on any given weekend.
Yeah. That's good. Any other SEC thoughts before we move on to the ACC, then the Big 12? We'll talk some Big 10 and Pac 12 towards the end, but I might sneak the Sun Belt in before the Pac 12 and Big 10, just being honest.
I might sneak the Big West in before some of those, too.
Hey, guys, the ACC was really exciting, and I want to start right away with Wake Forest at Virginia. I said it right the third time. Wake Forest at Virginia. Guys, I'm super worried about Wake Forest. I think that they're not a good team. I think that it is almost embarrassing that they were preseason unanimous number one in every single ranking platform, and I get it. Last year's team was great. They brought in some new pieces that were good. Their bullpen, and I'm being dead serious, looking at all both of you in the eye.
It's horrible.
Their bullpen is bad. Like, not even guys through a 98 that are wild. It's like the guy that was closing the game today was 88-90. Like, it was – and he gave up, like, 5 runs in the last 3 innings, whatever it was. But they keep doing it. Like, they keep giving up huge – they keep doing it. They keep giving up 5-6 runs of bullpen appearance, and it's so bad. If they did not have Chase Burns – dude, if they did not have Chase Burns, I don't know if they would have won an ACC game yet. I think they could be 0-6.
I'm telling you right now, if you go look at the FIP for Josh Hartle last year, you guys know what FIP is?
Fielding indifferent.
So basically, it's your true ERA taking luck out of it. So like somebody might have a 3.5 ERA, but guys are hitting lasers at people, or like it takes away luck, and your ERA might be a 5 FIP. Which basically means you're getting really lucky and your ERA is lower than it should be. Hartle, I don't know off the top of my head, but his FIP was significantly higher. If I remember correctly, please someone tell me if I'm wrong. But he had a really good year last year, but a lot of things went his way. This year, buddy's going to have to grind his ass out, grind his ass off to get better. Because Chase Burns is going to be on Friday night, maybe next weekend. If not, the next weekend. Because you got to make changes. When you're losing, you're 2-4 in ACC play, the changes come. And Hartle got work to do. Michael Massey's got work to do. Like, this team cannot afford their 3 starting pitchers to not be on their A game every week because that bullpen fucking sucks right now.
It's bad, dude. It's not going to get better, I don't think, either. It has to get better.
Then Menachi being gone hurt. It could be.
Yeah.
Losing Menachi really –
I'm in a place where usually I'm like the silver lining devil advocate, but like it's tough to find something positive to talk about that back end. The only thing that I can say is a guy like Cole Roland, who went viral doing Omaha last year, like he hasn't thrown yet. I'm not sure a dog. He's an animale out there. You can see he's a bulldog, but they don't really have that fire. They got a lot of underclassmen who unfairly maybe have been placed these insanely lofty expectations because, to your point, Ben, they were preseason ranked number one. And when I talked to Coach Walter before that Coastal Carolina game, he was like, I'm excited to not be the number one team in the country anymore. Like, it is, they made their first Omaha run since 1953. Like, they were the hunter. Now they are the hunted. And they got a lot of youngsters that are wearing a lot of that pressure on their shoulders.
But why? But why do they have a lot of young dudes? Like, I mean, this team was young for the most part last year on the mound. Like, they weren't a bunch of seniors. They were a bunch of sophomores and juniors who were all mostly coming back. That you add Chase Byrne. This team has no excuse to be this bad on the mound right now. No excuse.
I do. I think the only thing that I can think of, this idea, it's my favorite Vin Scully, the GOAT. Don't let the pressure exceed the pleasure. Maybe there's a light bulb moment where all of a sudden someone takes a deep breath, and similar to LSU's bullpen, it gets contagious. But right now, to me, it's screaming. Like, they're all mental mistakes. Like, to come in and walk the yard like they have, like, it's not talent. They didn't get recruited to Wake because they blew. Like, they got recruited to Wake because they're uber talented. Like, someone needs to just – and then good news is, like, they lose today in extras, right? Like, the bullpen's half not a shit. Like, they win the series.
I will say this, one more thing about – on the flip side with Virginia, they're fucking terrible on the mound too. They lost to fucking what's the word for a shootout in Coral Gables last weekend with Miami, and they were on the wrong end of that one, and they were on the right end of those this weekend. Virginia is terrible on the mound too, and it makes you wonder. Virginia's always really good on the mound. Wake Forest, as of the last couple of years, is becoming really good on the mound. So you're wondering if the offense is that good, are we really seeing some struggles from some of the normally good pitching staff? Because Miami cannot pitch that great, and they're just outscoring teams. So it just shows you, if you have a bad bullpen, you're going to struggle in the ACC this year, because Georgia Tech can hit. They don't have a great bullpen, as we've seen. Miami doesn't have a great bullpen. Wake doesn't have a great bullpen. Virginia doesn't have a great bullpen. North Carolina, like, I mean, I'm just going through the list. A lot of these teams do not have good bullpen, and I don't think the national championship team is coming out of the ACC based on what I've seen so far.
I don't know, man. Florida State's bullpen looks pretty good.
Okay. I didn't say them for a reason, because I didn't want to jinx them yet, because I love that team.
Yeah. I think Clemson's bullpen has looked really good. I think they're another sleeper team, not getting enough love. But here's my final thought on Wake Forest. Look, I'm not here to hate on Wake Forest. I think they're going to end up winning a lot of games. Because Jack is kind of right. Like, they're going to figure out their bullpen rotation sooner or later for guys that they can rely on. And those guys they might have to eat twice as many innings as they were projected to before the year. But it all comes down to just winning games. Like, you got to use your guys in those spots, whether they're tired, sore, whatever. But they do have Louisville at home next week, which should be a sweep. And, like, they get North Carolina, Virginia Tech after that, which both be pretty tough. But, like, they still have Boston College on their schedule. They still have Notre Dame on their schedule. NC State hasn't looked great. So a lot of winnable games. They did start out with Duke and Virginia, who are two of the better offenses in the ACC. But it's just like looking at their final scores. Like, they gave up 8 runs to Duke, 10 runs to Duke, 17 runs to Coastal, 16 to Virginia. Then Chase Byrne started. They gave up 3 on Saturday and then another 11 today. And then before the Duke series, they gave up 9 to Georgetown. So it's like, they got to figure it out.
But here's the big one, too, that we didn't even talk about. And this is not my game, right? Like, I'm broadcasting for college guys. They lose 11-10 in extra innings, and they committed 4 errors today. 4 fucking errors. Like, how does – you make 2 errors, you probably win the game.
Well, the 2 that they made in the 10th inning, they dropped a routine fly ball. Whoever was playing right field called off Seaver King in center field, and it was his ball 100%. Like, he was camped under it, drops it, and then first and third, one out, Tapper back to the pitcher. And he just freaked out, like, tipped off his glove, tried to make the exchange, didn't get it in time. Like, the game was moving too fast for Wake Forest in extra innings.
I want to put a beware, caution, a disclaimer here. Florida State looks great, right? I've been high on them. I want to be careful. They have now played a very tough schedule. Like, and Notre Dame is not by all means a top caliber team in the ACC right now. We're going to learn a lot about them next weekend in Clemson. So Duke right now for me in the ACC is the best team. Duke and Clemson, Florida State I think is right there, but I don't want to say anything yet because they haven't really played anybody of significant talent yet. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm really worried about the ACC because bullpens look horrible.
Yeah. Again, here's a team. We're going to move over to the Clemson versus Duke series. I think Clemson's bullpen's the real deal. Aaron Backage, like right when I started doubting this Clemson team, when they got blown out by Kennesaw and lost my parlay and they were dead to me forever, like since then,
yeah,
they've had some pretty impressive wins and haven't given up a ton of runs on the mound either. But they lose Friday night at Duke. There's a 5-2 game. It was close, like all the way through. I know Duke put up 3 runs in the first and it was like, okay, but the bullpen held him pretty much in check from then on out. They go out and win an 8-7, 8-6 game, win the series, and they're sitting at 17-2 now. And one of their losses was Friday to Duke, and one of them was that 18-1 slacking against Kennesaw State on that Friday. So they've handled their business well. They have a huge weekend series at home against Florida State Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which I'm looking forward to. I'll go ahead and guarantee that one of these two midweek games will get canceled for weather, quote unquote, because so, they don't want to play two midweek games before Florida State. They have like Winthrop Tuesday, Presbyterian Wednesday. One of those two is getting canceled. I'm calling it now. Like it could be sunny outside. They will not play both.
As a former, but, yeah.
But
mid-major guy, we had those games banged every year. Yeah, no,
exactly. One of those two is getting banged, but overall, like Clemson, number one in the RPI right now. Not a lot of people talking about them. Like they're not getting the love that they deserve. And I think we're going to see what this team is really made of because I think this will be a huge series for both Florida State and Clemson coming up next weekend. But like right now, if I had to pick, I think Clemson wins that series. I think they're a little bit more talented than I gave them credit for before the season. They proved a lot Saturday and Sunday when I bet on Duke both days. Like they got some fight in them. Aaron Backage is a damn good coach. I'll leave it at that.
I think to your point too, like not only and I underestimate him, I just didn't know anything about him, right? They got off to a terrible start last year. They get hot late. That's what good coaching looks like. You tinker, you find the right recipe. Today they won a game. And this is, I think, more of a credit to Duke. Like, don't worry, let's not leave Duke yet. Hit 17 hits today. Duke had 17 hits. Clemson had 7. You want to talk about a good baseball team? Finding a way to win a game in a really uncomfortable environment in the sense that you get out hit by 10. Like, that's weird.
I mean, Duke outhit them every game of this weekend. I mean, Friday they outhit them 9-4. Saturday I'll hit them 11-7. Sunday they outhit them 17-7. This series, I think, said more nothing about Duke. Yeah. It's just bad weekend, just didn't cash in with 2 out hitting. It's that simple. For Clemson to show that, hey, I think they're good, but I would if they you run this series back, I'm betting Duke 100 times out of 100 times to win the series.
See, so, I'm not.
Oh, 100% I am. And you out hit them that much, one blooper, 2-run single, they win another one of those games. So
for me, what makes a good team is the teams that capitalize, which Clemson did every single
week. But Duke have been doing that. They did it against Wake Forest all weekend last week. It was just not their weekend.
That's why I'm saying I think Clemson's bullpen and pitching deserves way more credit. Like yeah. they were strike throwers. Like they let Duke get that single through the right side or whatever. Like they weren't walking hitters. They weren't making errors. Duke was hitting the ball all over the field, but could not capitalize. I think Clemson's pitching staff deserves way more credit. In fact, I'll go ahead and say this. I think if Clemson or if Florida State were in the SEC, unanimous number one team in the nation, ahead of Arkansas. Like, I think their resumes are better than Arkansas right now. But, yeah, either one of them. I think they're in the SEC, unanimous number one, but they're not, unfortunately. I do think Arkansas is a very scary team, and now that their offense is clicking, they might rattle off like 20 straight wins. Like their pitching staff's that good. I know we already talked about SEC, But
I will give Clemson bullpen credit. They did a great job, but I still think Duke could have easily won that series. And we'll find out a lot about Clemson next week when the Noles come to town.
Like, for me personally, I'm a huge eyeball test guy. And I think there's a lot of people in college baseball that fall in love with the analytics or from last season stats or whatever. Like, eyeball test, I don't think there's more than 25 or 30 teams that can win a national championship. And when I say eyeball test, I mean guys that, like, have the fire and
the big they just look the part.
Yeah, they look good. No moment is too big for them. And there were just teams today, or really this past weekend, that maybe fell off my radar. Like, South Carolina fell off the radar completely. I think a team like Georgia fell off the radar completely. Like, I did have Georgia eyeball test before this, like, possibly a team that could win the national championship. Obviously, the non-conference schedule did not help. Like, well, it did help them. And I'm rambling again, but I'm saying there's just something about a college baseball player. You go look at national championship winning teams. You can go look at the Ole Miss team with Elko and those guys. You can look at the Mississippi State team with Landon Sims and those guys. Like, all those Vanderbilt teams that either won it or came close. Like, they have the big moment, like, clutch factor that I'm not seeing out of guys from Wake Forest. I'm not seeing out of guys from who else is on my list here? TCU. Like, they just don't have it.
Can I add? I know exactly what you're thinking right now. When you watch a guy on a random Sunday in March at Jack Coon Field, for example, Duke, you envision this guy. Can he get out of a man on second, less than two-out jam in Omaha, Nebraska? Can he do it in front of a sold-out crowd in Gainesville, Florida, in the Super Regional, winner advances to Omaha? And you just, you can visualize it, and you're like, this guy doesn't have it. Whether it's the way his body character, the way he, his composure on the mound, his feel, his facial expression, it, those little things, you can look at the guy and be like, you can't just do look it. At you cannot do it.
Last year, like, they had three of them, like, that just absolutely blew that eye test out of the water. Like, Dylan Cruz, Paul Skeens, Tommy White. All three were built for the big moments.
Those Trey guys, Morgan was built for the big moments. Like, they had one through nine guys.
Yeah, here's where, and I don't know if this is what you mean too, like, you just named like three, like, Major League Hall of Famers, not Hall of Famers, Major League All-Stars, excuse me. But the guys that, like Riley Cooper, Cade Beloso, like, those guys, it's like, to me, it's
another great answer.
But where did they get it from? They got it, but where did they get it from? They got it from the Tommy White and the Paul Skeen. It oozes off of those guys into the other guys.
Yeah, but to your point, though, like, you're missing it in the idea that, like, Charlie Condon's going to be Charlie Condon all year for Georgia. I don't want to call them the supporting cast because they're unbelievable in their own right. But, like, will the other guys behind them follow suit, right? Like, a freshman for Clemson today that threw on Sunday, Aiden Knack. I didn't know you before today. 9 punches and 6 1/3 against a top 5 team in the country. I know you now. And he delivered and he fist pumped every inning coming off the mound. Like, it's those guys that, like, you didn't necessarily know were going to produce that – you could categorize as the supporting cast. You have to have them be like, all right, these guys are contagious. Let me go follow suit.
Before you basically just said what we're saying. Yeah. Like, Tommy White, he oozes just confident. Imagine for being a shortstop looking at Tommy White. We got one down. We got two down, whatever. Yeah. And he's like, he sends it right back to you. And you're like, dude, I'm ready for this next fucking play. That's what we're talking about. When you look at a guy, they pass that eyeball test, what Ben's saying. Do they have that confidence to stand and toe the rubber or toe the box in Omaha or a fucking game three of a super regional? And I've said the F word a lot today, but I'm getting a little crazy right now, a little passionate about this shit.
I like it. But I guess my point was is that, like, Clemson doesn't have one of those three guys. They're just nails 1 through 9. Like, they don't have
– starting to ooze that confidence.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Spannarello, using that confidence. Who's the football player at Clemson that played baseball now? What's his name? Come on, Taylor. Guys. Help me out here.
Will Taylor?
Is it Will Taylor? I don't know who plays Will football. Taylor.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver at Clemson.
Yeah, Taylor. Well, he's been a two-way his entire career. He just quit football to focus on baseball. Dog. So, yeah, you've got some
stars. But anyways, I'll tell you. So, the reason why – oh, go ahead, Jack.
No, keep going. I was going to transition.
I was going to say, the reason why I bring it up is because when we're talking SEC baseball, ACC baseball, Big 12 baseball, a little bit of the Pac 12, a little bit of the Sun Belt, but that's about it. Like, we're talking about winning a national championship. Like, that's your goal. Like, Mercer's going to have fun in the SoCon, try to win the SoCon, make it to a regional to have this unbelievable experience as a four seed, like maybe try to win a game in the regional. But when we're talking ACC, ACC, Big 12, a little bit of Pac 12, a little bit of Sun Belt, like, it's about winning a national championship. It's not about getting to Omaha. And the thing that puts you over the top, and I hope South Carolina players are listening, like, you have to have the big moment in the bag. Like, every time LSU needed a big hit last year, they either had, like, Trey Morgan, Cade Beloso, Tommy White, like, Dylan Cruz, like, somebody stepped up. When you needed seven shutout innings on a Friday night, Paul Skeens was there. And I know that there's not very many of those guys going out there, but here's a team. Like, the Florida Gators are an absolute national championship winning team, or could win it this year, because they have, like, Jack Caglione going on Sundays. Like, they know what they're going to get out of him. And, like, he's going to hit in the two-hole or three-hole all year. It's, like, those kind of things to, like, win a national championship. College baseball fans get so caught up in hosting regionals or, you know, getting to Omaha. When you're in the SEC, ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, Sun Belt, it's like, how can we win a national championship? Like, what do we need to do to get our guys ready to win it? So that's my little
– let me add to that. Spiel. When you think of Coastal in 2016, those guys stepped on the mound. They were not scared one bit. They wanted that damn ball, and they were going to get you out. They knew it in their head, they're going to get you out. When you watch Dallas Baptist play, they know they are going to barrel that baseball up and get a double. When you watch Travis DeZano at Oregon State, you know he is going to produce. That is what it takes to win a national championship. Those guys, it's a trickle-down effect. Bazana's already getting freshman Trent Carraway rolling. Like, and then they go to the next guy, next guy. Next thing you know, you've got a lineup full of two confident guys. Yeah. And that's how you win a national championship. Dallas Baptist is a great example. That lineup knows. Eight hole in the lineup, they can still put up three runs. Because that guy's going to get on, next guy get on. You got one, two, three coming up. Bang, bang, bang. Next thing you know it, you're in the lead. So that's what, like, when I look at national championship teams, to Ben's point, it's those kind of teams. Like Coastal, those guys walk up to the plate, they're like sitting there like, okay, pitch, ball. Oh, give me that fucking heater down the dick, bang. He smashes it. That's what they did today in the 12th inning to win it. It's like those teams. And then when you look at a team like Troy and you look at all these teams that are coming up with good program, Campbell, they're missing that. They're missing that. You are not going to be this attitude.
Yeah. Can I transition this to another ACC game beautifully off your point, Dimitri, and kind of what you mentioned too, Ben? I'll tell you a guy that does have that, and it's trickling down and becoming contagious. I mentioned it briefly last week. Carson DeMartini at Virginia Tech. Think about his freshman year. He's a freshman All-American. He was on that Virginia Tech team that was program game-changing. They had three first-rounders, and they fall short in the Supers to an OU team that they felt they were better. They lose a lot. They get absolutely beaten up last year. And DeMartini, a junior, he's a first-team All-American. He hits three home runs today. To your point, he's the guy. He's the one that wants the moment. He's 19 with the sledgehammer, making the NCAA change rules about him. And guess what? They still slam that damn thing. They still slam it because they are that – like, they're gritty, they're and all of a sudden, that belief trickles down to young guys, and he can begin to teach almost, like, hey, this is how you handle those moments. This is how, like, you stay within your process. And that's a team that I know they win two games against Louisville. They probably should have won on Friday night. But that's a team, to me, that you're like, well, that's a guy that can be the guy.
Yeah, and it does trickle down. Like, Micheletti's hit a homer in five straight games, and I feel like he's taken a page out of – DeMartini's playbook of sit up there, hunt the pitch that you can drive over the fence and, like, get your guys on the bench, like, rallied, ready to go.
You know what? Type
of team that I think once the postseason rolls around, nobody's going to want to see them in the regional. They play with a lot of fun, passion, excitement. It's almost like their coach lets them off the leash game day. Like, you go have fun. This is your game.
You know what DeMartini and Virginia Tech kind of remind me of? It's like a LSU Jacob Berry thing. Berry played with a bunch of legends. He was the last guy, and then it was a whole new generation of players that went into Baton Rouge. I think Virginia Tech program. They tasted success. They tasted what it's like to be at the pinnacle of college baseball without winning a national championship. Demartini is one of the last players of that group. Where you had your Sean Hurley, you have Gavin Croft, and
Demartini. Who was the front end guy that year in 2021? Maybe it was 2022. Yeah, they had a front end guy that was freaking nasty.
So what I'm saying is Demartini. Hackenberg.
Yeah.
So Demartini is the last one of the high talent guys that played with those guys, share the knowledge to the younger guy. I think Virginia Tech, maybe not this year, but in the next 2-3 years are going to be really, really good. And that kind of reminded me of the Jacob Berry LSU. He handed the torch to the Dylan Cruz and the next generation of guys that come through the program. So I think that's going to remind me of.
It's such a good comp. Here's the only thing I'll disagree with you is this idea that like Barry was like an older guy when they all left him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Demartini's a junior. Like I can't even drink a beer yet. Like, so I think the window's still very much so open, but I love that comp, dude.
You want to know another name, another team that I wrote on my list of potential national champions, and you guys are going to call me crazy, but I see that this team has some dogs.
Oh no.
Like absolute dogs. They're my favorite team to watch this year because they pass the eyeball test. They're young, but they're talented as hell. And that's Dimitri's Miami Hurricanes. I'm telling you what, right now, me and Dimitri fought over text message the last 2 weeks. I'm trying to convince him that this Miami team has a lot up their sleeves. They're finally starting to show. Like, sure, they'll lose a midweek game to, you know, Stetson or Florida Gulf Coast, whoever. It doesn't matter. Like, when the lights are on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, these guys are athletic as hell. They play with this, like, it's like a high school passion. Like, you remember in high school when, like, you were, like, rowdy in the dugout? Like, someone throws ball one. It's like you're chirping at the pitcher. Like, I'm not saying that Miami's going to win the national championship. I'm not at all. I'm saying that if they can figure out two or three pieces on the mound, which they have some guys with good stuff, if they can figure out roles for everybody on their pitching staff, watch out. Like, watch out for the Miami Hurricanes. They could win the ACC this year. The ACC is wide open. They have enough spunk to do damage every single weekend. Just watch.
Spunk was perfect.
I'm going to go ahead and let Jack say whatever he wants to say before I get into this.
Spunk was perfect. The floor is yours, Mr. Rizgod.
Ben, I'm going to say this again. I've been saying this 100 times. The lineup is there. We know the lineup is there. Been there for the last damn 10 years. The pitching doesn't show up in the month of May and June. It just doesn't happen. They play great in the ACC. They go on the road. I don't even know their schedule in front of me. The next time they go on the road, they're going to lose that series. And this is not me being a Debbie Downer about Miami. I want them to win national championship. I will gladly be wrong about every take. When you hire in-house, lineup was never the problem. It's been the pitching in the month of May and June. They just can't get it done. This team hasn't shown me that they can get it done either. They're giving up 10 runs a game again. I mean, they gave up 18 to North Carolina today because they gave everything the first game. What if one of those games doesn't go their way? They lose that series because they don't have shit after that. That's my problem. It's not so much that they're not fun. They are exciting and fun. They just don't have it. And I'm telling you, I will be the first to admit it when I see it. I just don't see it yet. They don't have it.
You keep saying that they have no pitching, whatever. They held a North Carolina offense to 2 runs total through the first 2 games of the series. They won 14-1. They won 2-1. Their pitching every week. Their pitching is getting better every week.
Let's just say North Carolina get that 2-run homer in the 8th inning. They win 3-2. Miami wouldn't have no chance today.
Well, they won the series. They beat a good North Carolina team.
They did. They beat a great North Carolina team at home.
So they go on the road to Notre Dame next week. Are you saying they lose that series?
Wouldn't be surprised at all.
They need to win that series because then they have Clemson, Duke, Florida State back to back to back. So, but I promise you this, Duke, I promise you, Duke, Florida State, and Clemson do not want to play the Miami Hurricanes. They are the most lethal 11-8 team in the country.
I think you're a bigger fan of Miami than I am right now, which is really impressive.
I can't get enough of them. I can't get enough of this Miami team. They are the most fun team to watch in college baseball.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll circle back on this in three weeks. We will circle back in 3 weeks when they get through that gauntlet, and let's see where we stand. Until then, no more words from me.
I think that is a perfect – I think it's a perfect fade out and fade in because we're an hour and 10 in. So just smoothly transition into the Big 12 and talk about maybe another tease of a team. Our Lupton boys, I apologize to have to do this and give you my best Ron Burgundy impression, but does TCU stink, question mark?
They played this game the first 15 games of the year where they just would not put teams away. They would play with their food, as I said. They would just kind of play around, hang around, seventh, eighth inning, they'd get a big hit, they'd win a game, or they'd go to extras. I don't think they stink. I think we got false hope for their amazing hot streak they went on the second half of last year. If they don't do that, nobody's talking about LSU or TCU this year. Like, sure, they got Peyton Tolley out of the transfer portal. That was huge for them. Like, sure, their pitching staff on paper looks good, but this is another team I'm calling out. I called out South Carolina. I'm going to call out TCU. I don't think they have that killer instinct. I don't. Okay. Like, and I want to believe in this TCU Horned Frog team that I fell in love with the second half of last year. This is like Oklahoma 2.0. Oklahoma from the 2022 season that caught red hot fire, almost won a national championship. They go in the next year with this, you know, huge preseason hype and all this stuff, and they just couldn't live up to expectations. I don't think TCU can win a national championship this year. I really don't. They don't have the killer instinct. Maybe they find it, and maybe I'm dead wrong. But to start out Big 12 play 1-5, they're 5 games back of first place. Everyone was projecting them to win the Big 12 regular season. They're 5 games back through the first 2 weeks. This is not a pretty sight in Fort Worth. Things have to get fixed.
I just have one thing, Jack. One thing. Ray Cartwright. Yeah. Where are you, boy? Where are you, Ray Cartwright? Lupton boys. I saw you guys tweet out, no podcast today. No podcast today. Don't cry. Get up, face the music, and handle the adversity.
I will say this. I didn't know they weren't podding today. I think all three of us are putting on quite the mental toughness pod right now. We can elaborate on that later, but here to play devil's advocate again with you, Ben. They get swept this weekend to an OU team that I didn't know anything about. Ben, you've liked them since the beginning of the season, OU. Here's what I'll say about TCU. They gave up, and when I say crooked number, it's 3 and above. They gave up 6 crooked numbers in half innings this weekend. Like, it's just they like couldn't get away from the one big bang of an inning, right? Like, they gave up 2-3 spots in the fourth and the ninth today against OU. I believe in Kirk Sarlos. I believe in their veterans that they have. And obviously, Silva's one of the best shortstops in the country. You've got fun pieces around them. I don't know enough about their pitching to care, but I also do still think it's super early. But tough start. Like, a tough start to the Big 12 play.
Yeah. And I get it. There is the hot, cold, hot theory where you start out hot, you get ice cold, you figure it out. TCU's proven it. I need to give them the benefit of the doubt. I really do, because of what they did last year. I just don't see it. Like, watching their games, losing money gambling on them, I just don't see it. Like, I do not see that. I'm going to stop before I say too much.
How about this? I'll say it for you. For the rest of the 2024 college baseball season, I will never, and this is just honest to God truth, I'll never be sold on Clemson. Because I had him in a parlay that Friday night against Kennesaw State. I'll never be sold. My brain won't let me. I'm not smart enough. They might go 55-1. I won't be able to handle it.
Yeah, you know, I have one thing to say about the Big 12. 2 weeks ago, I was like, holy shit, get me off of Texas. I hate my preseason pick. I wish I didn't change it. I think Texas might win the Big 12 this year. Only because – and here's why. Here's why. Hear me out. I know they lost – I know they lost 2 out of 3 to Washington, but they looked pretty good against Texas Tech 2 weekends ago. And it is very
– not good. Hand up. I was wrong on that one, too. They just lost 2 out of 3 against Baylor.
So, okay, Baylor fine. Baylor made
Texas Tech look like a middle school team.
Who the hell is the Big 12 poopy stinks this year? Like, who is winning the Big 12 this year?
I think Oklahoma. Now, they look damn good, dude. Like, they're not winning games – by flukes. Like, they're hitting and out pitching teams. Skip Johnson's got the boys rolling.
I mean, West Virginia, you would be like, maybe West Virginia. They lost 2 out of 3 to Ohio State this weekend.
And they gave up 26 runs today to Ohio State.
Something yeah, crazy.
Did you see their graphic?
26-11.
So I'll tell you what
it's like. The Big 12. It's got to be
the Big 12. This is one of my two notes. I had the Texas stinks question mark, the state of Texas stinks question mark. My second note is the Big 12 is just drunk right now. You have to let them sober up a little bit. They got to get deeper into conference play so they can begin to play their John Daly rounds where they can really lock it in because they've clearly been this drunk all year. Because West Virginia's graphic today was so fun. After getting beat 26-11, their game day graphic was just see Ohio State website. It was fucking priceless. But they're not the same without Weatherholt. Their pitching is no good. Big 12 is just drunk. They need to sober up a little bit, drink a Pedialyte, and get ready to rumble.
Big 12 needs to figure it out because I'm about to lose hope. I told you guys earlier, Oklahoma State's not good. Oklahoma State almost got swept against UCF. When I say almost got swept, they lost the first two games, and then they were playing with their food again. UCF almost came back in this huge comeback win. The all reliable, the teams in the Big 12 are all reliable. Like the TCU's, Oklahoma State's, Texas, like they're not good right now. Texas Tech, not good at all. So I think this is Oklahoma's conference to lose. I don't think it's going to shape out. I think Houston's going to fall off, even though they've kind of
They played Baylor and BYU, the two easiest games they're going to get.
Here's a team that's like hanging around is Kansas State, and they're going to get Tyson Nabers back soon. And Kansas State's just as talented as pretty much anybody in that conference when healthy. So I think Oklahoma's the best team, though.
I think Big 12 is going to be super fun for all the wrong reasons. It's not going to be because they're all so good. It can be they're all so bad, and it's going to be so exciting to see like who the hell is going to win this conference. Yeah. But I got to follow back up with you guys. What was our over-under total for Cincinnati?
I thought we did that for
4.5, 5, and it was 5.5, right?
Was it Cincinnati or Missouri that we did this for?
It was Missouri.
Because hey, Cincinnati went on the road at home, took 2 out of 3 from Kansas.
Almost no
I saw that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Big 12.
All these new teams that jumped into the Big 12 this year that I think we all kind of expected to get their teeth kicked in, like, pretty heavily. Like, how the SEC views in Missouri or, like, how the top of the – yeah, no, go ahead.
I thought UCF was going to compete. I thought Houston was going to be okay. I thought BYU and Cincinnati were going to get their shit kicked in.
UCF will compete. Like, they got swept by Oklahoma on the road. Like, okay. Now we see
they were in it. They were in it.
They played better than TCU did.
Yeah, facts.
What a wild conference.
Here's if Big 12 can continue to remain this drunk, I'm gonna hold you to it because I still believe in this conference more than the next two. Big 12 keeps fucking around, they're gonna find out that we'll delegate them. And we'll put the Sun Belt as the third best conference. We'll talk a little Sun Belt before Pac-12 and Big 10 to be assholes.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Sun Belt, once again, another great weekend. James Madison showed a lot. Showed a lot this weekend at Coastal. Could have easily won that series. But here's the thing again. Like Coastal, eyeball test. When things get tough, they have 5 or 6 guys they can rely upon to get the big hits, and they did every single time. It was not the traditional Coastal, we're going to put up 15 runs on you every single game. There was a lot of low-scoring games that they had to come back and tie it up or win it late in the game. But James Madison hung in there with Arkansas opening weekend and won a game. They go to Coastal, easily could have won 2 and 3 there. James Madison's a team you got to like look out for because they could be like in that 7 seed and find themselves in the Sun Belt Championship playing for like a regional berth. Like they're that deep, that good.
I'm so glad you said that. When you look at the Sun Belt this week, everyone who was supposed to win won. Texas State took 2-1 from Madison.
That's not true.
Southern Miss sweeps. The Raging Cajuns go 2-1.
South Alabama got killed by Georgia State. They got swept.
By the way, that might be the most shocking result of all 305 teams with South Alabama getting swept.
Yeah.
That is horrible. That is bad. That's not just a bad
We weekend. Double up on Saturday. I'm not going to lie. I'm on Warren Nolan, and I did my research, and I didn't see their matchup. Well, thank you for contradicting me. But everyone else did. They styled. That's fucking brutal. I want to go to James Madison real quick. They got a kid by the name of Fenwick Trimble who tore up the Cape Cod last year. He's a guy like when you get into a tournament that could go and win a game by himself in the middle of the world. All right, go South Alabama. I fucked that one up. Go.
I don't have anything to say. That was just a shit show of the weekend. You cannot get swept at Georgia State or at home against Georgia State. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, the only problem I have with the Sun Belt is Marshall's SID and Southern Miss's SID were just too close of friends. Like, they were just too nice to each other. Like, this is conference play, fellas. Like, I get it. Marshall, you're probably going to be at the bottom of the standings all year. Awesome stadium, awesome new uniforms. But, like, let's not be friends with Southern Miss. Like, you need to go steal a game in Hattiesburg. Like, let's let the conference take you seriously. There was just too much back and forth niceness. I played into it a little bit. I'm guilty. But I wanted to see how far it would go. And they just kept memeing each other. It was awesome. Not awesome. It was kind of sad. But anyways.
Is that the word, the C word you're looking for, cringe?
Yeah, it was a little cringy. But,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, Southern Miss, they won on Sunday. It was a close game today. Pitching is going to be there all year. Close, like, to me, Southern Miss, Coastal, Troy, Louisiana, Texas State.
Maybe else.
Maybe Old Dominion, maybe. Like, we just never know with Old Dominion. But, like.
It's Coastal and Southern Miss. That's it.
No, dude. Troy's up there, too.
I'm trying to come out. I'm trying to jump off the Troy bandwagon. They built the horse. I'm trying to sneak out. I don't want to be a part of it.
Look, Troy, Louisiana, and Texas State, I would categorize in the same area. That's fair. You like, right now. But the potential that Troy has. With like a Shane Lewis who hasn't gotten hot yet, other than
by the way, why is he hitting seventh in their lineup?
He's not hitting. They must have figured him out. I mean, he hit 28 homers last year, whatever it was, and maybe he's got a scouting report on him now. But
I love it, and I'll tell you why. He went and took Auburn and Alabama yard, but like is struggling with maybe lesser opponent. I think you hide him in the seven hole. Hide. He's an All-American. I just think it takes a lot of pressure. And Will Butcher, who's leading the meat man, is leading the country in RBIs going into the weekend no longer anymore. But feed that guy with some runners on and allow Lewis to just take a deep breath and look up and go, all right, we got some studs up there too. Like I don't have to wear all this like I did a year ago. So I didn't hate that move at all.
Yeah. But anyways, Southern Miss, I think they're going to be just fine. Hand up. I said it last episode. I was down on them this year. Was maybe more unsure this year. Replacing guys, but I think they're going to be just fine. They need to hit a little bit better. Like the offense was there last week, wasn't there this week.
I said something that I already regret saying. I said I'm jumping out the Troy bandwagon. I'm like 1 foot in, 1 foot out right now. Like I'm just worried about them. You can't lose to Louisiana Monroe. I know that sometimes they show up and they can be a great team.
Not bad though. Monroe, this year they're not bad.
I know, but it's just like if you want to win Sun Belt, you've got to sweep some of these teams. Maybe they'll make up for it later.
That's not true. Nobody's going 27-3 this year.
But you're not going to win all your road series, what I'm saying.
If you win every series, I guarantee if you win every series in the Sun Belt, you win 2 out of 3, you're going to win the conference.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. They're going to lose one of those series to Coast or Southern Miss. They might win one, lose one, but you know how it is. It gets tight up there. One game is going to be the separator. Got to win as many games
as you can. If you go 18-12 in the Sun Belt, you're going to win and probably host a regional.
No, I think Coastal and Southern Miss tied in 19 last year. I'll confirm that right now.
Yeah, look that up.
Right on the number.
I think it was 19 wins, won it last year. Sun Belt standing 2023. Oh, my God, dude. Off. Coastal won with 23 wins. Southern Miss came in second with 22.
23-7?
23-7.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm wrong.
Wow. Southern Miss went 22-8. Troy went 18-12. Louisiana went 18-12.
Oh, okay. I'm wrong. Damn, 23-7. Why did I not remember that? I was thinking there was a bunch of them piled up between like 19 and.
Yeah, 18. I thought 19 was the number.
Okay, hand up, wrong.
We do that. Anyways, aren't we?
There's a team that I wanted to talk about that we have to kind of rewind a little bit. Georgia Tech sweeping NC State. Yeah. Drew Burgess hits his 13th homer of the year. They also had five or six guys step up, big moments. They had a big comeback win on Saturday. The pitching, we talked about it.
Wait, how did we go from ACC Sunbelt back to ACC?
Well, I said there was a team written down here that I have in all caps that I wanted to talk about that we missed. But let's not forget, Drew Burris has a homer that was erased this year because of that Georgia game that got canceled. He should have 14. Like, he's hit the ball over the fence 14 times, which would tie him with Grant Nipp of Campbell with the nation's lead. But there's something about this Georgia Tech team that I can't quit either. It's like when I see their pitching staff finally throwing strikes, which I haven't seen in years, probably since I played, like there's something refreshing because you know the offense will always be there. So watch out for Georgia Tech, a sweep against NC State. Nobody was really expecting, including myself, and I'm pretty high on Georgia Tech. But Danny Hall, the boys, like they win games, they go in the locker room, they put on that lizard hat and make funny videos. Like, that's a team that could be dangerous. Or it could be a team that just falls down the hill very quickly and never picks himself back up. So I'm still half in, half out on Georgia Tech, but I think they're an exciting team.
Good for you.
Yep. Do you guys want to talk Pac-12, Big Ten?
I mean, there's not much to say about the Pac-12. It's just that we knew what was going to happen in that Oregon and Cal series. I mean, I wanted to pick Cal, but I thought Oregon was going to win it. I thought they were going to come back from that Santa Barbara series well. Oregon State slipped up today, lost one to Utah. I mean USC, I think it's 3-3 with Stanford or something like that. So, I mean, I think the Pac-12 is very top-heavy. I think it's Cal, Oregon.
USC, 6-13 USC actually won two out of three against Stanford. That Arizona State-Arizona series was exciting. Talent's not there, but both teams definitely hate each other. Still have like a little bit of hope, I think, for both teams to make a regional.
Who?
But Arizona State and Arizona. I just caught myself gambling on those games late in the day, 10 p.m. starts. And
guys, I think UCLA might finish 10 games under 500 this year.
Bro, they're 7-11, 2-4 in Pac-12 play. Yep. A lot of question marks. Cal, Oregon State, and maybe Washington, you can take seriously. The rest, like, they're not winning a regional.
No.
Oregon State is their only chance of winning a national championship. I think it's slim, but I think the talent is definitely there. They'll get healthier as the season goes on, too. Oregon, Cal, potential super regional teams, maybe. If they take a step forward and get the right draw, like maybe Omaha, max, like ceiling. But this conference, it's just sad what it's come to. Like the Big West, I get way more excited about than the Pac-12.
You want to talk about the Big West real quick?
I do. I really do.
Santa Barbara.
I'm not being sarcastic.
No, like, Santa Barbara's who we thought they were. They're that good. I mean, I'm telling you right now, they're that good. They I think they swept – who they sweep? Yeah, they swept Long Beach this weekend. They swept UConn last weekend, 2 out of 3 at Oregon the weekend before. Beat Sacramento State on the road, 2 out of 3 before that, and then they lost to Campbell opening weekend. Santa Barbara is that good. I mean, they're that good.
April 5th or April 7th, we'll have Santa Barbara going to Irvine, and that's going to be a it's going to be a home series technically for Santa Barbara. Like, they'll be the home team, but it's in Irvine because of that field situation. That's going to decide the Big West. But there's teams like UC San Diego that I think are super talented. Long Beach State, don't count them out. Fullerton, don't count them out, but they're not
great. They're going to steal some wins and maybe a steal.
Yeah, somewhere. They'll steal some wins. it's a fun conference. I prefer the Big West over the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Oh, dude, there's two teams in the Big Ten that I really like this year. I finally watched a game. Maryland, like, played against somebody out west. I don't remember who it was, but I like Maryland again. I'm back in on the Maryland Terps.
Maryland played Portland. They took 2 out of 3 at Portland.
That's what it was, at Portland. I should have wrote it down. But then Nebraska. Look at Nebraska, the 3 RPI. They're not bad boys. Like, one Good. They swept Charleston. They won 3 out of 4 against Grand Canyon. They won 2 out of 3 against South Alabama. They swept Nichols, and people were pretty high on Nichols.
Charleston, too.
Yeah, Charleston, too. But they're about to go through a very easy schedule. Like, they kind of top-loaded their schedule. They get Omaha, North Dakota State, New Mexico State, Kansas State midweek, okay, toss-up. But then Northwestern, Creighton, Ohio State, Kansas. Like, they could find themselves at, like, the number one RPI by, like, I don't know, beginning of April.
That was just they team to keep. They're a lot better than we thought. Indiana, maybe not as good as we may have mentioned. They had a bad, and they didn't look gritty.
They can't pitch.
They can't pitch at all.
They can't. They're studs in the offense. I think that's why they jump out at you. But Ben, to your RPI point, Maryland is a team I paid absolutely zero attention to. We had flops on the ground in College Park, and I've got some insight from the one and the only girl that's ever stepped foot in Club Roma to this point. And she let me know they're kind of the real deal. Maryland's a 32 RPI team. Like, they didn't schedule the craziest out of conference, but like frisky, like UNC Charlotte. They go to Georgia Southern, like frisky, and they've gone and taken care of business. Like, they could be fun.
I think the Big Ten is the same thing as the Big 12. It's going to be very similar. Just fun for all the wrong reason.
Yeah.
But there's some good games. I just think it's going to be fun for the wrong reason. I don't know. That's just the vibe I'm getting.
I'm bought in on the Missouri Valley Conference. I'm about to start watching a ton of Missouri Valley games. Indiana State, Murray State, Southern Illinois, Belmont, Missouri State, Evansville. Those guys can all play. Like, they all have enough talent to maybe win a regional game or two. I mean, we saw Indiana State last year go to a super, but I think that's a very underrated conference there, the Missouri Valley.
I agree. We pretty much roll through it, an hour and a half.
I mean, I'm done. I mean, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It's Sunday night, late. I know Jack had a long weekend at the weddings. Dimitri got hit in the balls playing catch. It was day to day.
Come on, man. That's the TMI. Well, that's not need to be out there for the public.
Why?
That's good.
She's private. It literally, no pun intended. But
Dimitri, if you'd had content, Dimitri, you're a content creator. I mean, that would have been gold.
I am not a content creator.
Sure you are.
I am just who I am. And I guess it comes out as content.
I love you. You're the Riz.
Watching somebody get hit in the balls and like farts, like they will always be funny. It doesn't matter how old I get. If I watch somebody get hit in the balls or fart, like I'll laugh every time. So
I like it.
Well, I'm my friend, dude.
Burnt out. 3 free shout outs. Roland Fanning and the Govs. Green Shoes were on go. Can we please start a campaign? Lyle Miller Green is the coolest, craziest baseball player. Like, I had to. He's now got the longest home run on the record. 485, 117 off the bat. That guy gets, he's just awesome. Like, he's on. Can we get this guy popped? Like, let's build a serious campaign around him and the Govs. They're for the brand. We're for the brand. That was awesome.
Yeah. He's the Oklahoma State transfer that pitches for our awesome P2, right?
So sick. Like, he literally is he beat Mississippi State on the mound. He pitched 5 scoreless, and then he hits absolute moonshots. 485 to dead center over the batter. I was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, there's one more note that I have written down here. Do we want to try to guess D1 baseball's top 5 for tomorrow?
Yes.
Arkansas 1. Arkansas 1. Everybody agree?
Yeah, 100%. I'm kind of following suit.
Arkansas 1.
Who are they going to put it to?
Oregon State 2.
Okay. Oregon State 2. Do they put Vanderbilt 3, Clemson 4?
No. They'll leave Clemson out. I really believe they do. I think they jump Florida back in.
That's what I'm afraid of.
All right. Arkansas 1, Oregon State 2, Vanderbilt 3, Florida. I mean, not Florida. No.
Oh, shit. I'm telling you, it's tough.
I know.
I think they're gonna put I think they're gonna put Vanderbilt four and Clemson.
I'll tell you right now. I pulled it up. All right. They're top 25. Arkansas one, Oregon State two, Florida three, or Vanderbilt three, Florida four, Clemson five.
They're gonna put a seven loss Florida team at number three.
Yeah, 12-7.
This is what they need to do. I want everybody to listen. They need to swallow their pride and throw Florida State in there at like the number four or number five. Just to do it. Like
I know they're gonna do it. I know they're gonna do it. LSU is gonna drop from two to five. They're gonna be in the top five still.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, they set themselves up for failure. This weekend hurt them big time, and I feel bad for them, but they just do the right thing. Throw Florida State in their top five. Like, swallow your preseason rankings right now. 18-0 is hard to do. Nobody else has done it. Like, just throw them in the top five, and then when they lose two out of three this weekend, you can be like, ah, they're in the 20s. But anyways, I think they're going to put Vanderbilt four, Clemson five. I think they're deserving. Who are they putting at three? Hold on. Let me think. Arkansas, Oregon State.
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt,
LSU,
Clemson,
LSU five.
Do they put Alabama five?
Nope. LSU is gonna be five. They will not drop out of the top five.
Okay, that's fair. I would not hate that there, but I want to see Wake Forest drop down into the teens. I want to see. Tennessee and Texas A&M are good teams. They just ran into buzzsaw. Same with LSU, but it's just gonna be super interesting what they come out with tomorrow. Because we don't make a top 25 for the regular. We do the mid-major top 25, which is a little bit easier, I think. But this week's going to be hell for top 25 teams. It really is. Like, do you think anybody jumps in? Like, does it, like, Oregon jump in? Does Miami jump in? Southern Miss?
I don't know. Virginia Tech?
Oregon should.
I like we'll end the show here.
But
anyways, hour 36.
If you're still listening, you really love us. So give us some insight. We're going to leave it on this. Ben, where are we going this weekend?
I don't know yet, but we're going on a trip. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, be back Sunday. We're going to go create some content. We're going to go out.
Our 11.7 listeners that are still listening.
Where the hell is LeBron?
Coming back maybe tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday or in person Thursday. It's coming back this week. Jack had a wedding. He's been calling games. He was at Coastal, Wake Forest. Like, we were doing stuff, but it's coming back. It's going to be great. Anyways, we appreciate all of our followers. I know it's March Madness season. Like, college basketball takes a huge precedent for a lot of fans, but just stick with us. Like, we're still doing college baseball things. We love this sport. But anyways, subscribe to the YouTube, share the podcast, DM us, tweet at us. We love all that. We love you guys. So we'll be back Wednesday night. See you guys later.